Hello, good afternoon. My name's David. Welcome to the Thy Kingdom Come kind of hearing God's voice kind of seminar as part of the Thy Kingdom Come Shropshire Hope prayer thing that's going across the whole of Shropshire over the next 10 days. My name's David. I'm the curator at All Saints Church Wellington with St Catherine's Iton, kind of Telford Way. Thanks for joining me. And in a few minutes, we're going to get started as we're going to be thinking about what it means to hear God's voice and what it means to be part of seeing his Holy Spirit in action, how we can hear what he might be saying to us today. So we'll be starting in a couple of minutes. If you just joined us, you might want to grab your Bible, you might want to put the kettle on. And I can see the comments as well. So do say hi, tell me where you're from. Maybe tell me what you'd like to get out of these sessions. And we're going to be starting in a few minutes' time. You might have a notepad and a pen and your Bible. We're going to be looking in the Bible a bit. We're going to be singing or listening to some music if you'd rather not sing out loud on your own at home. And it, like I said, thinking about what we can do to put ourselves in a place where we can hear God speak to us in a way that's normal and comfortable. If you are tuning in, do say hi and do share this so that more people can join in. I know that we did say to begin with it was at 2 o'clock, and that was my mistake. It should have been 3 o'clock. So apologies if that confused you a bit. That's my mistake. It should have said three. I just got a bit overexcited, really. And there's going to be a second one on Tuesday at the same time. They're going to be different. So you might want to put Tuesday, if this is something that interests you, kind of hearing God speak to you, you might want to put Tuesday at 2 o'clock into your diary as well. So that's great. We're going to make a start, I think. If you're watching this live, hello. If you are just tuning in, maybe on YouTube, a really big hello as well. So my name's David. I'm one of the team at All Saints Church in Wellington, and that's St Catherine's Iton. And during this kind of Thy Kingdom Come week, we're going to be thinking about how we can hear God's voice in a way that's normal and clear and every day, really. Because it shouldn't be a difficult thing for us to hear God speak to us. If we're designed to be in relationship with him, there should be nothing more natural than hearing God speak to us. So we're going to be thinking about that today and on Tuesday afternoon as well. And today's session is going to be more about kind of what that looks like in practice. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about why it's important to hear God's voice. We're going to be thinking about the prophetic ministry. So we're going to be briefly looking at what is prophecy? Is that just listening to God? We're going to be thinking about that. And we might get on to why it's important, why the Bible says it's important to listen and to obey. We might get that far. And then on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to be thinking about what that looks like in practice. So how can we have a lifestyle that gets used to hearing God's voice? What can we do about it when we do hear him? What are the right ways and the wrong ways of sharing what we feel God might be saying to us? Hi, Alice. Great to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in. There's five other people at least listening. I don't know if that includes me, but it's good to have you with us. So you might want to have your Bible ready. We're going to sing a couple of songs in a minute. We're going to have some worship just to kind of get ourselves in the right frame of mind to be ready to hear what God might want to say to us. So if you've got your Bibles ready, you might want to kind of find yourself into 1 Corinthians is where we're going to start after our singing. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. This isn't going to be a detailed theological deep thing all about the prophetic. I don't want to spend ages talking to you. I want to kind of share some experiences and some stories that I've got as well as when this has happened. So it's not going to be a really deep theological kind of let's look at all the Greek and the Hebrew and stuff like that. So if you're expecting that, I can recommend some really good books about it. But that's not for me the purpose of today. Today we're just going to be briefly thinking about what I said earlier. So we're going to have a go at singing just because I think that's really good to focus ourselves on Jesus. If it's his voice we want to hear, we're just going to say, okay, Lord, I don't know what your day's been like, but okay, Lord, we're ready to hear you. We put ourselves in a place where we hear you speak to us. So all the words you need are going to be on the screen, hopefully, if this all works right. And we're going to have a go at singing just a couple of songs. And both these songs are about casting our mind to God, casting our eyes to him, looking upon him and seeing what he has to say to us. So let's sing.
Thank you.
Should you say a prayer before we start? So do join me. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Lord Jesus, we do praise you and we love you. We worship and adore you. We thank you that by your Spirit you are here with us. Though we might be scattered in all different places, you are here with us. You draw us together. So this afternoon we're ready to hear you speak to us. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to challenge us, to encourage us. May we learn more of you this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said before, I think a few more people have joined us, but my name's David. I'm one of the team at All Saints Church in Wellington and St Catherine's at Eyton. And this afternoon and on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, again, we're just going to be looking at what it means to hear God's voice. And the session on Tuesday is going to be different to this one. They kind of build on each other. If you miss one, the other one will still make sense. I'll make sure of that. But they do kind of build on each other. So in today's kind of session, we're going to be thinking more about why we might want to hear God's voice. We're going to try and get into that, what it says in the Bible about it. And on Tuesday, it's going to be a bit more practical. How do we put ourselves in a place where we listen to God? And I haven't always been what I would call a kind of card-carrying charismatic. I haven't always been someone that is passionate about Holy Spirit's power and gifts and all that jazz. Something happened to me when I went away to the Ukraine, and it's a long story, but in a nutshell, I realised that the stuff that we read about in the Bible, that Jesus and the early church went around doing, is still available to us today. The Holy Spirit is still at work. The kingdom of God is still growing and at work. So that's where I come from this afternoon. So if you're someone that maybe is a bit more kind of reserved or skeptical about the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he brings, that's fine. But some of this might wrestle with some of that. So I'd love to talk to you about that at a later date. Do drop me a message, but that's not what we're going to be looking at this afternoon. I'm kind of going to assume that we are all kind of in the same boat, where we believe in Holy Spirit, that he speaks to us. Some of us might be a bit kind of scared about that, and that's okay. Some of us might think that we never hear God speak, and it's okay to think that. But we're hopefully all in a position where we believe that God does speak to us, and we'd like to know more about how to hear him. And I'm not an expert. Let me say that. I'm in no way an expert. I'm just kind of someone that's dithering along with this journey with Jesus and trying to learn what it looks like to hear him speak to me. That's where I am. So we're going to begin by looking at 1 Corinthians. I think we're going to look at chapter 12 very briefly. And then later on, we're going to look at a couple of verses in chapter 14 as well. But let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's a well-known passage all about the spiritual gifts. We're not going to read it all. You might want to read it all again later. But we're just going to read verses 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Thank you, Jesus, for your word to us this afternoon. Would you bless it in Jesus' name? There's quite a lot there, isn't there? And I wonder how your heart responds when you read that. I mean, there's loads that we could look at, and this is going to be a whistle-stop tour. But I wonder what is your heart response. Maybe you think, oh, well, that's all well and good. Those ministry gifts, that's all well and good for those people up on the stage. For those people maybe with the bits of plastic around their neck. Those people in the posh robes. Those people on stage. Those people who get paid to do this stuff. But not for me. I'm not holy enough. I'm not powerful enough. I don't know my Bible well enough. But Paul makes it clear in verse 7. He says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all. And then he goes on to describe what we might call the gifts, the faith, healing, miracles, prophecy. It's not an exhaustive list. And it's not like we can go around ticking a box saying, you've got that one, I've got this one. And I want to argue as well, maybe controversially, from this passage that actually I don't believe in spiritual gifts. And bear with me, I'm a card-carrying charismatic, remember. But I don't believe in spiritual gifts, at least not in this passage. Because if you go back to the Greek, and cleverer people than me have done that, what you'll do is you'll find out that the word gifts in this passage isn't there. Now, it is in other passages, in other bits where it talks about the Holy Spirit. But in these verses, it isn't. What we've actually done is kind of added it in because it makes it easier to translate. But that phrase, spiritual gifts, is actually one word in the Greek, pneumatikos. It's not a noun. It's an adjective. It's the stuff that the Spirit is doing. And I'm no Greek scholar, but I think this is important because it reminds us that it's not about us. It's about the one who is doing the stuff. It's about him. It's about the gift giver. It's about God doing the stuff with us. And that word gift can maybe conjure up things that aren't useful. You know, think about Christmas. If you get a better present than me, I get upset, right? We might not feel as special as the other person. But when we realise that actually our mindset needs changing, it's not about us getting the gift. It's about him who gives the gift. The word gift isn't there, but you know what I mean. Our viewpoint changes. So this day and on Tuesday, we're looking at the prophetic gift. But before we move on, let's remember that it's not about us getting the gift necessarily, about him who is giving the gift. It's the stuff that the Spirit is doing. But before we move on, I want to look at something in verse 1. Now, Paul says he doesn't want the church to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. He doesn't want the church to be ignorant. And I don't know what you know about the church in Corinth, but it was in a bit of a bad way. Corinth is quite a dodgy area. But Paul is still writing to that church and saying, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. You need to know about these spirituals, about these spiritual gifts. So that's a brief, I mean, there's so much more I could say about that. But I wanted to begin by framing that because I think that mindset is important. It's not about us. It's not about how well we receive the gift. It's about the gift giver, the one who is doing the stuff, the stuff that the Spirit is doing. That's the way we might want to look at it. And now I want to look at this word prophecy. Now he talks about it, doesn't he? He mentions prophecy. We're down in kind of chapter 8 and chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 10, even verse 10, to another prophecy, he says. What is prophecy? Now, this is a huge subject. I've got some good books that I'll talk about that I might recommend towards the end if you want to look at it in more detail. What is prophecy? Because there are words that the word prophecy is translated in lots of different words in the original languages. And that just makes it a bit more confusing, doesn't it? But what is interesting is when we look at Ephesians 4:11, we see this word being talked about. And Ephesians 4:11 says this. Let me read it to you. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And it continues on to say, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Do you remember us saying that word prophecy is translated sometimes differently in the original languages? But what's really important here is in Ephesians 4:11, we realise that this word is more popular than all the other offices that we see in Ephesians 4:11. So by the word offices, I mean the pastor, shepherd, evangelist, teacher, and all that stuff. Okay? Bear with me. So we see here in Ephesians 4 that it says there were some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. But when we compare that throughout the whole of the Bible, we see that the word pastor and shepherd come up 191 times. Teacher 162, Apostle 80, evangelist only 3. But the word prophet, the word prophecy, comes up in the New Testament 149 times, and in the whole of Scripture 465 times. And we have 12 famous prophets in the New Testament that are talked about: Agabus, Judas, Silas, to name 3 of them. So, prophecy is important. It's there throughout Scripture. It's translated with different words in the original languages, and we call it prophecy. So what does it mean? Well, an easy way, I think, of thinking about it is it's just a message from God through an individual. A message from God through an individual. It's God speaking to us and us sharing that. That maybe makes it sound a bit less spooky, doesn't it? I've got a book up there called Prophetic, in fact, I might even have it here. Basic Training for Prophetic Activation. It's a good book, but it does make it sound a bit kind of all, you know, big and scary and all prophetic events. But actually, prophetic stuff, prophecy, I think, is listening to God and sharing what he says. And so I see prophecy as kind of like the title, and underneath it there are different forms of prophecy. David Pitches wrote a great book called Prophecy in the Local Church. I recommend you get it. It's quite an old book, David Pitches, Prophecy in the Local Church. And he says there are 8 different kinds of prophecy, 8 different times of us hearing God and doing something about it. And the one that we're going to focus on is the last one that he says, which is this: a message spontaneously inspired by the Spirit, spoken into a specific context. That's the one I think we're going to try and think about. Because I do believe that every single person who's a Christian can do that. I believe that every single person who is walking with Jesus, I believe you can hear the Father's voice speak to you. Now, does that mean that everyone is a prophet? Well, I don't think so. And that's kind of complicated, but let's look at that briefly for a moment. Because I don't think that everyone who prophesies is a prophet, in the same way that not everyone who drives a car is a professional driver. Maybe that's a helpful analogy. So I think Scripture gives us a hint that we have what we might call high-level prophecy and low-level prophecy. So let's think of Isaiah and Moses, high-level prophets. We have their words recorded in the Word as the Word of God in our Bibles. They had a particular calling, a particular anointing, whatever you want to call it, and they spoke with great authority and accuracy. But we have other examples of what we might call low-level prophecy. For example, in 2 Chronicles 9:29, we have a chap called Iddo the seer. We have the anonymous prophets at Bethel in 1 Kings 13. So these words aren't recorded for us to read in the Bible. But even so, they spoke God's message out. It might be a bit messy, this distinction line, and in some ways it can be confusing. But I think it's accurate. So you've got high-level prophecy. You might think of Isaiah or Jeremiah in Scripture. And then you have low-level prophets, people that hear God's voice and speak it out, but we don't have their words recorded in Scripture. John Stock, the recent theologian, said that maybe we should reject the claim there are prophets today compared to biblical prophets. But there may well be prophets of a secondary kind. That's when God gives people special insight into his communication. So it's my firm belief, in a nutshell that was, that not all of us are prophets, but we can all prophesy. We can all hear God's voice and share whatever it is that he might be saying. We'll come on to how to do that later. And it is worth saying, I think, over time, that over time, the church has been maybe a bit sceptical, a bit scared about prophecy. I mean, we've got lots of teachers in the church, haven't we? We've got lots of pastors. But when it comes to being prophetic, when it comes to the prophets, we're a bit more sceptical. It's a bit more scary. It can be a bit more messy. And it's not like the prophetic ministry has never existed, but more like it's slowly faded in its usage. So what is prophecy? Well, here's some things about what prophecy is, and then we're going to give it ago, and normally we'd be doing this face to face. So it's a bit weird, I think, that we're not in a room doing it, because normally what I'd do is I'd have a teaching session, we'd talk about it, and then I'd split us off into different groups and we'd give it a go. And I thought about doing that on Zoom, but I actually think if it's scary enough doing it in person, it's almost scarier on Zoom. I think it's just a bit weird. Let's be honest, it's a bit weird praying on Zoom, isn't it? Maybe just me. It's a little bit weird. But we're still going to give it a go. We're still going to have a go at listening to what God might want to say to us and sharing that. So that's the plan. But what is prophecy? If we can all hear God, what is prophecy? We get a lot of clues in the Bible. And I'm going to kind of rattle these off. And if you'd like these notes, I can email them to you. Just drop me a message. But what is prophecy? Well, 1 Corinthians 14. In fact, you know what? We're going to listen. You're probably bored of my voice now. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14 and let's see what that might have to say to us. 1 Corinthians 14.
This is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 6. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction?
That was my lovely wife. Thank you, Kimberly, for doing that. So 1 Corinthians 14 gives us loads of stuff about prophecy. But in essence, prophecy, hearing the voice of God and sharing it, strengthens, it encourages, and it comforts. That's what we hear in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Later on in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 24 and 31, prophecy can instruct. In Acts 13, verse 2, quite similar, prophecy can direct. In Acts 27 and Acts 23, it can even predict what might be happening. And really importantly, we get this in Revelation 19, verse 10, prophecy points to Jesus. It's not an ego boost. It's not a case of, hey, look at me, I've heard God speak to me and I'm sharing it. No. That's not what it's about. Prophecy, hearing God's voice, speaking it out, is about glorifying Jesus. It's about bringing people into his presence. It's pointing people to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It doesn't draw attention to the person saying it, but it draws attention to the person from whom it originated. So that's Jesus. You know, some of you might get confused with the difference between a word of knowledge and prophecy. And sometimes I actually do use the words interchangeably, maybe theologically that's a bit naughty of me. But for me, prophecy is like the kind of headline. And remember how we said that David Pitch had different kinds of prophecy. And word of knowledge is a way that we might move in the prophetic. So word of knowledge is maybe a kind of a specific word at a specific time that kind of encourages and instructs. If you come to All Saints Church on a Sunday where I'm part of the team, we have a prayer ministry team that meet before the service. We do it online now, we meet before the service. And we spend time just listening to God to see what he might be saying to us. And that for me is what a word of knowledge is about. And I'll give you an example. A few weeks after I'd arrived there, one of the team had a word that there was someone in the church who had a history of, or had in the past, used something that was really unhelpful in their walk with the Lord, something involving witchcraft, which was really unhelpful. Obviously, we didn't know who it was, but we went to the front of the church. The person leading was at the front of the church, and they just said, look, before the service, we were praying, and one of our team sensed this. If that's for you, you know, there's no condemnation, but sometimes the Holy Spirit might convict us. So go and get prayer. We'd love to pray for you. You know, you're forgiven. God loves you. We might need to set you free from some stuff. And that very day, someone went to the prayer ministry team and said that word was for me. So that's an example of what I would say is a word of knowledge, something that's prophetic, God speaking to someone, that person hearing it and sharing it. So that's what we're going to have a go at thinking about today and tomorrow. It sounds exciting, doesn't it? And that's why it's important, because it makes a difference in people's lives. And we've just read, Kimberly just read 1 Corinthians 14 for us. And I could just cheat really and say, why is it important? Well, because 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says it is. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. It's important because God's word says it's important. And so if God says something is important, well, we need to listen to him, doesn't we? But I also think it's important because prophecy feeds into other things. It feeds into kind of other ministries. So, for example, last week, a few weeks ago at church, one of our team had a different picture as we were praying, that someone felt a bit lost. And the picture was of a big forest and this person walking through the forest. And it was looking very similar. It's a long walk and they just felt they were going around in circles and the scenery was always the same. And we shared that picture. And that really resonated with someone who came for prayer. Now, I could have said, oh, there's someone here who wants guidance, so come for prayer. But that specific picture from God resonated with someone so much, and it had so much detail, that we were able to provide kind of pastoral care and come alongside someone. Similarly with healing. Sometimes God might say, oh, there's someone here with this need, and I want to heal them. Rather than just saying, hey, anyone that wants healing, let's pray for you. We hear, and we'll come on to this later, we'll hear what God is up to, what the Father's up to, and we will join in. So 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to eagerly desire it, and so we should. And we're going to move now to John 5, verses 1 to 8, and we're going to see a bit more about why it's important, and we're going to think about kind of how we can do it. So John chapter 5, and back over to Kimberly. Thank you, Kimmy.
This is John chapter 5, verses 16 to 23, and then 30. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defence, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them the answer. "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."
And I love that story in John chapter 5. I mean, it raises lots of questions as well that might be confusing. So here we have Jesus healing a man with a sentence, "Get up," and the man is healed. He says, "Pick up your mat and walk." But we also read in verse 3 that a great number of people lay around the pool. So why did Jesus just heal this man and not the others? Well, firstly, I'm sure that Jesus would have healed a lot more people than we read about in Scripture. The Bible tells us that if everything Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world. But also, there's a sense that not everyone is healed. And we live with that now, don't we? We live in that tension nowadays, that not everyone is healed and now not yet of the kingdom. And this isn't a seminar about healing. It's a seminar about the prophetic. But we do get a clue as to why. A few verses later, in verse 19, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders. They've kind of had enough of him again. I mean, it's kind of really pulling their strings, isn't he? And Jesus is talking about what he's just done. And he says this. He says, "I only do," verse 19, I think, "I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing." And this is why it's important to hear God. Because God our Father is up to stuff today, just like he was back then. He's still in the business of healing. He's still in the business of setting people free, of bringing life. And we're challenged, we're invited to listen, to join in with boldly praying prayers which are in accordance with his will, and to see his kingdom come. But we can only do that if we listen. And we can go through the whole of the Old Testament and we can find times when God spoke. That's why it's important. It's important because the Bible says it is in 1 Corinthians 14. It's important because if Jesus said he has to see what his Father's up to, if he had to listen in, then how much more do we do? But it's also important because the whole narrative of the Bible, the whole story of Scripture, we see God's voice making a difference. God is, to nick a phrase that I heard at Naturally Supernatural, he is perpetually articulate. He is always talking. And when I was thinking about this and planning it, I couldn't think of a key time which was anything other than God speaking. Genesis 6:13, God speaks to Noah to save him. Genesis 12, God speaks to Abraham and promises him to be a great nation. Exodus 3:4, God calls out Moses. Joshua 6, God speaks and tells him how to take the city. 1 Samuel 3, God calls Samuel by name. Isaiah 6:8, he hears God's voice saying, "Whom shall I send?" So we could continue and carry on. But let's come in to land by thinking that it's not just an individual thing, it's a thing for the church. It's an expectation that we don't just hear God individually by ourselves, but also as the body of Christ, as the church. We hear what God is saying and we do what he's asking us to do. John 10:4 says that the shepherd goes ahead of us and we, his sheep, follow him because they know his voice. And we'll come on to that next session. A final reason why it's important, 1 Corinthians 14:24, because it's a sign to non-believers. Paul says, if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in and people are prophesying, he will be convinced that he's a sinner and will fall down and worship God. I used to do something called treasure hunting. I haven't done it for a while. When I was at college, but it was great fun. I loved it in Wellington a few months ago. And what you do in treasure hunting, in a nutshell, is you sit and you listen and you kind of hear what God might be saying to you. You do it as a group. You write down what you feel the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. So it might be a kind of, for us, it was a shop, and it was a man in a black kind of cap and with a stick, and he had a bad left knee. And they were the clues we had. And we went to that shop near the railway station and we were waiting for that man. And we found him, we went up to him and we said, look, here are the clues. Look, these are the things we've written down and you're here. Can we pray for you? So there's a sense, isn't there, that it's a way of showing people that don't yet know Jesus, that Jesus is real and that he loves them and wants to get to know them. And there is an expectation throughout the Bible, God's people hear his voice. And the issue isn't that God doesn't speak. It's that we find it hard to listen to him. And so I want to spend just 5 minutes before we do an activity. I'm aware it's a lot of me talking, but we're going to spend 5 minutes thinking about that passage in John chapter 5, where we look at listening and obeying. Listening and obeying. And we've already talked about what this says in John 5. Jesus says, I can only do what I see my Father doing. So Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who's listening to God the Father and obeying. And that's who we try and model our ministry after, right? I want to share a story with you where it all went horribly wrong. Isn't it an encouragement when people share stories like that? So I was in a supermarket at a place called Clevedon, where I was down in Bristol, where I trained to be a vicar. And I was at a place called Clevedon, where they filmed Broadchurch, as it happened. And I was in the supermarket at the Asda there. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to pray for the lady on the checkout. I want you to pray for her. And I can remember thinking, no, Lord, I'm sure you don't. But as I got closer and closer to the lady and doing the checkout, the Holy Spirit was really saying, no, you really need to. And you need to pray for her because she's got a hospital appointment that she's worried about. And I thought, well, you know what? Okay, well, that you need to confirm that to me because that's not going to happen, I'm afraid. And God said, I want you to pray for her because I'm going to heal her. And I was like, oh, that's a big deal. One of her colleagues was walking past. And just as I was getting there, her colleague said to the checkout assistant, oh, how are you feeling about your hospital appointment this week? I was like, oh, my goodness, I am hearing God. Great. That doesn't get me off the hook, does it? And so I'm there and I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to start this conversation? And you know what? To this day, I regret to tell you, brothers and sisters, that I didn't obey. I listened and I heard what the Holy Spirit was asking me to do, and I didn't obey. And who knows what I'd have done, what would have happened if I'd have said to her and had the boldness to say, look, I'm a Christian. God told me this. Can I pray for you? Now, of course, there's grace and forgiveness. Thank goodness. But there's almost no point in listening if we're not going to obey, is there? There's almost no point in doing it. If we're going to listen, we've got to obey. And if we're not going to listen, well, it doesn't matter if we obey or not. But there's no point in listening and not obeying. And like I said, we looked at John 5, Jesus saying to the Pharisees, I only do what I see my Father doing. That's the secret for us, isn't it? You see, Jesus prayed. He spent time listening to the Father. He spent time hearing what it was that the Father wanted him to do on that day. And there's another example of it too. In Mark 5, verses 1 to 19, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but basically Jesus goes into a crowd of sick people and approaches one of them and heals them. And we've already addressed the question of why, and that's a big question. But again, we see the answer. Well, Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing in John 5, 19. In other words, Jesus was listening to the Father and following his lead, listening and obeying. Another great example is Ananias in Acts 9. Ananias is visited, he has a vision, and the Lord says to Ananias, you need to go to Straight Street, and you need to find Saul, and you need to lay your hands on him and pray for him. Ananias is a bit like, hang on a sec, you what? This is the guy that's been persecuting all the Christians, right? This is the guy that's been going around killing them. You want me to go to him and pray for him in the name of Jesus that he'd been healed? God says yes. And Ananias says, okay, I'm going to go and do it. What faith. I think Ananias is one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. He has just a few verses, but we see that this vision that he has in Acts 9 seems an almost normal way for God to communicate with Ananias. He gets some really specific detailed instructions, where to go, who he's going to meet, what he needs to do, a bit like clues when we're treasure hunting. So some challenges for us before we kind of close with some singing and some reflection, and we're going to try and give it a go. I've got a little activity for us to do. How often do we listen? How often, and we'll come on to this on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, a bit more detail. How often do we set aside time to sit in God's presence, to ignore the distractions and to listen to his voice? How often do we do it? Do we see our walk with Jesus as a hobby, a nice thing we might do every now and again? Or is it something to devote our life to? Spurgeon. The great Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this. He said, I never pray for more than 5 minutes, but I never go for more than 5 minutes without praying. Just constantly being on Wi-Fi. I talked about this morning at All Saints Church, being on Wi-Fi with the Holy Spirit, always listening, always being positioned in a way where you can hear God's voice. If we long to see his kingdom, if we long to see his reign extended and his glory fall, if we long to hear his voice prompting us to speak to other people, to talk to them, to pray for them, to bring words of knowledge or prophetic insight, we need to hear and see what the Father is up to. And more than that, we need to obey. Back to our story in Acts 9. Can you imagine if Ananias has heard, but had decided, no, it wasn't worth the risk. He didn't want to go and pray for Saul, our Bible might look totally different. You see, in Jesus, we have someone totally obedient to the Father, don't we? We know that in Philippians 2. Being found in the appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. But then it says that, you know, through this obedience, through being obedient to the Father, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So when we obey, when we follow the model of Jesus, and when we obey, there's a sense that God is glorified through obedience. So we're called, like Jesus, to listen, and we're called to obey. So maybe a time to think about that this morning. I'd really encourage you to join me on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We're going to expand this in a bit more detail and look at what it looks like practically. So I'd love you to join me. If you want to listen to this again, it'll be on the YouTube channel. So don't worry if you've missed some of the notes. But we're going to spend maybe 10 minutes. I think we've got enough time. 10 minutes now just to think about listening and obeying. So we're going to have an activity, a brief activity about listening. And so we're going to have a go without me saying anything about how we might position ourselves in a way to hear God speak or anything like that. We're coming on to that Tuesday. We're going to just have a go at listening to what God might be saying to us. So I invite you to kind of get yourself comfortable. To, you know, if you've got something else on in the background, to maybe close that off so you're not distracted. And we're going to basically use our environment to help God speak to us. And so in a minute, I'm going to pray a really simple prayer, really simple prayer. And we're just going to have a couple of moments of total quiet. We've got some songs to sing, but we're not going to do that yet. I'm just going to sit here quietly. I'm going to see if I hear God maybe speaking to me about anything. And what I'd encourage you to do is, in that quiet, look around the room. If you've got a nice view of outside, maybe look outside and see if God is directing you to something that he wants to speak about, he wants to speak through to you. Okay, now this isn't that something else is going to speak to you. Okay, it's not all hocus pocus and weird. God the Holy Spirit, we're open to him and only him speaking to us. But he can use our environment to do that. He can use nature to do that. He created it. And what might happen is your eye may get drawn to something. Something from today might pop into your head. Maybe even as I'm speaking, you're aware of something on the wall or something, a picture or a book title. And just spend time with that in your head saying, okay, Lord, what is it you want to speak to me about using that? Does that make sense? And if you'd like to share them in the comments, please do. That would be great. You don't have to. If we get there and it doesn't work and you think, oh, this is awful, nothing's happening, God still loves you. Sometimes we hear in different ways. That's absolutely fine. Still joining us on Tuesday and we'll learn more about that. But let's just still our hearts, a bit of quiet, and I'll guide us through a few minutes of doing that. So come, Holy Spirit. We believe that you want to speak to each and every one of us. You're our Father, you love us. There's nothing more natural than being in relationship with you. We were created in the beginning to be in relationship with you. And in the Garden of Eden, we walked with you. So come, Holy Spirit. So as you sit, you might want to look around the room. You might want to look around in your mind's eye, or you might want to look around physically. And I invite you to observe your surroundings for something that might attract your attention straight away. And often the first thing is the thing that God is saying to you. Don't overanalyze it. Don't overthink it. You might want to jot it down on a bit of paper. It might be something that you think is a particular holy thing. It might just be a cushion on the floor or a cup of tea in the corner or whatever. It might be something you can hear. That's okay. The phrase that I like is naturally supernatural. We don't have to hype it up. We don't make it weird. And so as you think about that thing that your attention has been drawn to, Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to speak to us through it. What is it that you want to teach us with that object or that thing that's in our mind's eye or that we're looking at? That thing that you've drawn our attention to, what is it about it that you want to teach us with today? What are you speaking through that item? I invite you to continue mulling that over and praying it through. We're going to continue with a couple of songs. If you're thinking this isn't working for me, that's okay. Let's just worship God. And we might be going on a bit longer, so if you need to leave at 4, you're welcome to. That's absolutely fine. Let's sing together, or just listen. Oh.
Yes, he never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord, we will. We will sing of your goodness. And we sang in that last song that we love your voice. We love your voice. And we pray that we would learn to hear it better. That we would know you as a father and as a friend. Lord, thank you that your goodness is running after us. We love you. We pray that you continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. As we were kind of praying and worshipping, I had maybe a sense that for someone kind of maybe watching this afternoon, that this is a bit random, but that maybe a relationship with a sibling, particularly a brother, is really difficult at the moment. And that was all I had, just a sense that God gets it. God is in the midst of that and he understands what it is. So you're not on your own. And if that is you, we pray, I pray for peace and reconciliation in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, into that relationship. Bring your healing. Bring your peace. Bring honesty and openness. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And if that's you and you'd like to get in touch, you can drop me a message and we can pray, but you don't have to. It's absolutely fine. We've prayed for it now, and that's good too. But if you'd like to, the offers are there. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I'm aware it's been a bit quick. Normally I'd spend a lot more time going through those things, but I didn't want to go on for too long, and I'm aware I probably have gone on for too long anyway. But on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, like I said, we'll be looking in a bit more detail about how to put ourselves in a place where we can hear God speak and what that might look like. And so we'll be thinking about the fact that God often whispers rather than shouts, for example, and how we can position ourselves to be ready to hear that whisper. And we're going to give it a go again. So there'll be a bit more time to sing and to worship, and more time to reflect with each other. It's been really good to see some of you kind of sharing what God's been saying to you. Thanks so much. I really hope that, I know we didn't spend too much today looking at what it means to hear God's voice, but we looked at why it was important. And we looked to remember that the importance of listening and obeying. I think those two things are really important. This will be on YouTube, so it'll be on the All Saints Wellington YouTube. So if you find us and look for our Thy Kingdom Come playlist, I'll put it on there. Just a couple of books that I've found really helpful. This one is called Naturally Supernatural, and it's by Wendy Mann. And it's a really easy to read example of how she's trying to model a supernatural lifestyle that's for everyone. So I'd recommend that. This is kind of maybe a bit more kind of theological, but also quite good, called Prophetic Evangelism. And that's more looking at how hearing God's voice can help us speak to others really well about Jesus. And remember that other one that I couldn't quite find to show you, I don't know where it's gone, by David Pitches, Prophecy in the Local Church, is a kind of golden oldie, really. It's got lots of good stuff in there. It's been great to be with you. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for commenting so I haven't been by myself. I'd love to see you on Tuesday. Do share this with people that you think might be interested. But as for now, have a great evening. Bless you guys. And if you've got any questions about what you've heard, do just drop me a message and we'll try and talk about them on Tuesday. Catch you later. Bye.